Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Chapter 3, Text 40.
Bhagavatri Unayavi, Pagare Devatur Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Sarvahacharya Raghavala Krishna Vakiyakam, Slogam Mundavadhyayam Abhav Slogam.
Oh, no, actually. Yeah, I'll do 42. Indriyani parani ahur indriye bhya parang manaha manasastu para buddhiya yo buddhe paratastu saha. Translation. The working senses are superior to dull matter. Mind is higher than the senses. Intelligence is still higher than the mind, and he, the soul, is even higher than the intelligence. Maybe I'll just read it in English and then you can build the going afterwards. So, purport, the senses are different outlets for the activities of lust. Lust is reserved within the body, but it is given vent through the senses. Therefore, the senses are superior to the body as a whole. These outlets are not in use when there is superior consciousness or Krishna consciousness. In Krishna consciousness, the soul makes direct connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the hierarchy of bodily functions, as described here, ultimately ends in the Supreme Soul. Bodily action means the functions of the senses, and stopping the senses means stopping all bodily actions. But since the mind is active, then even though the body may be silent and at rest, the mind will act as it does during dreaming. But above the mind is the determination of the intelligence, and above the intelligence is the soul proper. If therefore the soul is directly engaged with the Supreme, naturally all other subordinates, namely intelligence, mind and senses, will be automatically engaged in the Katha Upanishad. There is a similar passage in which it is said that the objects of sense gratification are superior to the senses, and mind is superior to the sense objects. If therefore the mind is directly engaged in the service of the Lord constantly, then there is no chance that the senses will become engaged in other ways. This mental attitude has already been explained. Parang drishtva nivartate. If the mind is engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord, there is no chance of its being engaged in the lower propensities. In the Katha Upanishad, the soul has been described as Mahan, the great. Therefore, the soul is above all, namely the sense objects, the senses, the mind and the intelligence. Therefore, directly understanding the constitutional position of the soul is the solution of the whole problem. With intelligence, one has to seek out the constitutional position of the soul and then engage the mind always in Krishna consciousness. That solves the whole problem. A neophyte spiritualist is generally advised to keep aloof from the objects of the senses, but aside from that, one has to strengthen the mind by use of intelligence. If by intelligence one engages one's mind in Krishna consciousness by complete surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then automatically the mind becomes stronger, and even though the senses are very strong like serpents, they will be no more effective than serpents with broken fangs. But even though the soul is the master of intelligence and mind, and the senses also, still, unless it is strengthened by association with Krishna in Krishna consciousness, there is every chance of falling down due to the agitated mind. Indriyani parani ahur indriye bhya parang manaha manasastu para buddhe yo buddhe paratastu saha. The working senses are superior to dull matter. Mind is higher than the senses. Intelligence is still higher than the mind. And he, the soul, is even higher than the intelligence. Get that dumb rule. This morning, I was speaking on how the Vedic knowledge, as encapsulated in Bhagavad Gita, is the perfect exposition of psychology.
இன்று காலையில் ஸ்ரீமத் பகவத்கீதை எப்படி வேதத்துடைய சாராம்சம் என்பதையும்
In the modern age, psychology and psychological studies have assumed much importance. We live in a very mental age. Many people work with their minds. Computers, it's all mental manipulation. Not intelligence. People think that you have to be very intelligent to work with computers. But the Vedic definition of intelligence is not simply how to manipulate binary codes, and I'll hang on, translate that in Tamil, binary codes to produce different images upon a computer screen. Sometimes people become upset when they read in Srila Prabhupada's books that women are less intelligent. And you say, well, there are many intelligent women. But the Vedic understanding of intelligence is, well, there are different levels of understanding that also. But the most important understanding is that of discrimination between spirit and matter. And because the psychological package which comes with the female human body is more concerned with sensuality than with discriminating spirit from matter, therefore women are described as less intelligent. So this verse is very important for understanding who we are. As I was saying, there's much interest in psychology in the modern age because people identify themselves with the mind. Why don't you say it three times? Like, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam. It's said three times because people are stupid.
So,
so just like Hare Nama, Hare Nama, you have to say it three times. Even then people don't chant Hare Krishna. So we say switch off your cell phone three times and even then they don't switch it off. We identify ourselves with our cell phone. The most important thing in my life is my cell phone. It is my life. Indriyani Purani Ahur Indriyebhya Purang Manaha Manasas Tu Parabuddhe. And above all of this is the cell phone. Above the mind, above matter, senses, mind, intelligence, and the soul is the cell phone.
மனது ஆத்மா இந்திரியங்கள் உடல் அதாவது கலியுகத்தில் இது எல்லாத்தையுமே என்னுடைய செல்போன்ல தான் அவன் முக்கியமான விஷயம் நினைக்கிறோம்.
So, getting back to reality, apart from the imagined reality in cell phone, Facebook, iPods, and all this kind of thing, we've come here for a dose of reality away from the imaginary world of iPods.
இந்த கற்பனையான ஐபாட் செல்போன் போன்ற உலகாதியமான விஷயங்களுடன் விடுபட்டு
So, this verse is very important to understand who we are.
In the slogan, நாம் யார் என்பதை புரிந்து கொள்வதற்கு மிக முக்கியமான ஸ்லோகமாகும்.
There are so many different religions, so-called.
இந்த வாழ்க்கையில் நாம் காண்கின்றோம் இந்த உலகத்தில் பலவிதமான ஆன்மீக வழிமுறைகள் மதங்கள் இருக்கிறது.
And people are fighting over different religions.
மக்கள் பலவிதமான மதங்களின் அடிப்படையில் மத சண்டைகள் செய்வதை நாம் காண்கின்றோம்.
And there are many different philosophies.
ஏராளமான விதவிதமான தத்துவங்கள் இந்த மனித சமுதாயத்தில் இருக்கிறதை நாம் காண்கின்றோம்.
But the people never ask the first question which we should ask if we are to come to the spiritual platform is who are we?
இந்த ஏராளமான விஷயங்கள் இருந்தபடியும் கூட இந்த வாழ்க்கையுடைய அடிப்படையான
Even in the Western world, a lot of people say that we are interested in being very spiritual. They have this idea, we'll be spiritual but not religious.
நாங்கள் ஆன்மீகமாக இருப்போம் ஆனால் மத சம்பந்தமான விஷயங்கள்ல ஆர்வமுள்ளவர்களாக இருப்போம் சொல்லி நடிக்கிறாங்க.
Means we don't want to follow any particular system of religion.
நாங்கள் எந்த விதமான ஒரு மதத்துக்கும் சார்ந்து வாழ மாட்டோம் ஆனால் ஆன்மீகமாக இருப்போம் சொல்லி சில நபர்கள் நினைக்கின்றார்கள்.
But we like to feel that we are spiritual.
நாங்களே நாங்கள் ஆன்மீகமாக இருப்பதை போல அவர்கள் தங்களை கற்பனையாக வாழ்ந்து கொண்டிருக்கிறார்கள்.
But they don't know what is spirit.
ஆனால் உண்மையில அவர்களுக்கு ஆன்மா என்றால் என்ன என்ற விஷயம் தெரியாது.
What is the distinction between matter and spirit? In this verse, don't give this now. Don't disturb the lecture. Sit and listen. In this verse, there is described, there is indriyani purani ahur. There's the senses. First there is matter, then there is the senses.
In the slogan சொல்லப்படுது முதல்ல ஜடத்தை பற்றி சொல்லப்படுது அதுக்கு பிறகு இந்திரியங்கள் பற்றி சொல்லப்படுது.
There is the mind, sorry, in the senses, then the mind and the intelligence, all these are material, then there is the soul.
The slogan சொல்லப்படுது மனது புத்தி கூட பௌதிகமான விஷயங்கள் தான் அதுக்கு அப்பாற்பட்டு உன்னதமான ஆத்மா ஜீவன் இருக்கின்றது என்பதை.
But there is a gradation because above dull matter are the senses.
இந்த எல்லா விதமான விஷயங்களுமே பௌதிகமானவை என்று கூறப்பட்டபடியும் கூட பௌதிகத்தில் இந்த விஷயங்கள் ஏற்றத்தாழ்வுகளுடையதாக இருக்கு.
Above that is the mind.
மனதிற்கு மேற்பட்டதாக.
The mind is one of the senses, it's the center of all the senses.
மனதே எல்லா விதமான புலங்களிலும் மிக முக்கியமான புலங்கள் எல்லா புலங்களுடைய மைய கட்டுப்பாடு மனதில் இருக்கு.
And the mind is also intimately connected with the intelligence.
இந்த மனது புத்தியோட மிக நெருங்கிய சம்பந்தம் உடையதாக இருக்கிறது.
And
ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா யாரு
ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா what are we going to do about this? Should we throw the people out if their cell phone goes off? Should we expel them? I think next time a cell phone goes off, we should throw the person out, or I'll go out. And this is serious subject matter. This is not just some kind of social function. Now some of them...
போன ஆஃப் பண்ணிருக்கேன் எத்தனை சொல்லிட்டு இருக்காரு நட்டா மாறா எப்படியே போறாங்க.
Those who are coming in newly, tell them to turn off your cell phone. We're fed up of this. Every few minutes it will go. So, very few people are actually interested in coming to the truly spiritual platform. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatiti siddhaye. Out of thousands of people, very few, maybe one or two, will be interested in spiritual perfection. Now you may say, well, there are so many people, they go to churches, mosques, temples. But Krishna says, Manushanam sahasreshu kaschid yatiti siddhaye. Many thousands and millions of people may be religious, but very few people are interested in actually understanding what is reality, what is the truth. And there are so many religious teachings, and many religious teachers, but hardly any of them speak on the platform of Atma, of the soul. They might speak of God or Bhagavan or Ishvara or Allah. But they don't know what is the difference between matter and spirit. And therefore, when they speak of God, they themselves have no clear idea of what is the spiritual nature of God. So it is not possible for them to have an understanding of our spiritual relationship with Him. And therefore, what they call religion is some idea of some cosmic material order supplier that they think of as God. And therefore people pray to God, Allah, Bhagavan, Ishvara, whatever they like to call Him, please cure my backache. Please give me more money. It's like a beggar goes to the very rich man and asks, please give me some ashes. Or one story that Srila Prabhupada told was that a woman went to the forest to collect firewood. That's still common in some parts of India. So after collecting the firewood, gathering it, putting it on her head, she was walking and then she stumbled and it fell down.
இதை கஷ்டப்பட்ட விறகை பற்றி கொண்டு தலையில் வச்சு சுமந்து மீண்டும் நடந்து வரும்போது
And because she had already walked some distance, she was quite tired, she didn't have the strength to get it back up again. So because she was a pious woman, she called out, "Oh, Govinda, Govinda, help me, Govinda." So Govinda came. She said, "Yeah, I'm Govinda. What do you want?" "Oh, Govinda, put this firewood on my head." There's no real, she's not taking advantage of the opportunity to worship Govinda, surrender to Govinda. So just like you go to Tirumalai and people are in the line, they're calling out, "Govinda, Govinda." They're all calling out, "Govinda, please put firewood on my head." Maybe not exactly that. But Govinda, help me pass my exam. Govinda, help me to get a good job. Govinda, Govinda, Govinda. So like that, there are many religious discourses. But they are mostly on the platform of the senses. Or the mind. On the platform of the senses, people will say, well, they'll tell you something like Satyanarayan Katha, that you do this and then you'll get all your sensual desires fulfilled. Along with Satyanarayan Puja comes Satyanarayan Katha. See, someone already left because we're not speaking on the platform of sense enjoyment. Mostly people think that religious discourses, they should be for our senses or for our mind. Something enjoyable. Some nice stories, nice jokes. Make us feel good. So, what platform should we speak on? Of the senses, the mind, or the intelligence, or the soul? What do you think? We should speak on the platform of the soul. Well, if we speak on the platform of the soul, that means the liberated platform. But we don't even know what the soul is. So first we have to employ the intelligence to understand what is the distinction between spirit and matter. Because if we speak on the platform of the soul, what does that mean? That means Krishna Leela actually. Because the activity of the Atma is Krishna Seva. And Krishna Seva means within his Leela. So to speak on the platform of the Atma means to speak of Krishna Leela. So there are many speakers who speak on Leela, Leela Katha. But because the hearers and the speakers also are not educated in understanding the difference between matter and spirit, then they convert everything they speak and everything they hear into some kind of material understanding. And they hear stories of Krishna Leela and they don't understand. They must misunderstand because they have no understanding of what is spiritual existence. So here in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is bringing us toward the platform of spiritual understanding. He's speaking on the platform of intelligence. Now that is spiritual intelligence. Real intelligence means the intelligence to understand what is the difference between spirit and matter. And that is the first thing that Krishna teaches in Bhagavad Gita. The difference between the spirit and matter. Without understanding this, there is no spiritual life. But it cannot be understood simply by the intelligence. Only if the intelligence is purified by spiritual touch can this be understood. Because we can theoretically talk about how the spiritual living being, the Atma, is separate from the body. But we are attracted by the sense, the objects of the senses. And therefore we can talk about Bhagavad Gita and spiritual subject matter, but we are again attracted by spiritual, by sensual objects. So, we may talk of Krishna Leela and talk about gopis, but because we don't properly distinguish, we don't know what's the difference between spirit and matter, we'll see any beautiful woman, we'll say, oh, what a beautiful gopi, and we'll think we're being spiritual. When the cinema was becoming popular in India, then first of all there were only religious movies. Then they introduced, they would have scenes of beautiful gopis dancing. And people think this is very religious. But they don't understand that the gopis are not objects of our enjoyment. They're completely spiritual personalities who are objects of Krishna's enjoyment. Our lusty, gross, material desires for sense gratification are perverse reflections of Krishna's absolutely pure exchange with his devotees. So actually, without understanding the difference between spirit and matter, if we try to discuss on the platform of spirit, we will simply make offenses. So we have to distinguish between spirit and matter, as I've said several times in this lecture. Manushanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye. Very few people are interested in this subject matter. People are interested in sensual subject matter. And little higher than that, they're interested in mental subject matter. Like how to write computer programs. Or gross sense gratification means, there's gross sexual activity and there are minor sensual enjoyments like drinking coffee. But it's all sense gratification. So, if we have to preach Krishna consciousness, it might seem that, let's offer some sensual activity that will attract people. Let's speak in a way that people will be entertained. That was stupid, wasn't it? So I just did a stupid performance. And everyone's smiling. They find it enjoyable. But no one got any spiritual benefit whatsoever out of it. So if we speak and act in ways that are enjoyable, people will get some enjoyment. And there's no spiritual benefit. If we speak for people's spiritual benefit, then not many people will take much interest. But those who do take interest, they will be benefited in a substantial manner. And if we do it in a lighter way, Hare Krishna, everyone chant Hare Krishna, and you'll be free from stress relief. You'll get stress relief. Tell a few jokes, juggle some balls.
Hare Krishna.
And everyone saying, oh, that's good fun. But how will it help them to advance in Krishna consciousness? So maybe we can juggle balls. Maybe. I don't recommend it, but can be done. But then we have to give the message of Krishna. We can do various things to attract people to Krishna consciousness. But we have to give the message of Bhagavad Gita. And if we're too much in gimmicks and tricks, and then we start to think that this is all that there is. And other people start to think that's all that there is. But the actual message of Bhagavad Gita is so important that we should not cover it with anything lower, anything on the material, sensual, mental platform. Intelligent, yes, but spirit. Bhagavad Gita gives us spiritual intelligence. And that can actually be understood if we take to spiritual practice. So we have to chant the Hare Krishna mantra in a mood of service. The Hare Krishna mantra is not an object of our sense enjoyment. We may think that, well, let's chant Hare Krishna in various ways that people like it. But we have to teach people that we are the servants of the holy name. The holy name of Krishna is not an object of our cheap enjoyment. So if we speak on the platform of the senses and the mind, then many people might be attracted. There are many gurus who speak on this platform of the senses and the mind, and they're very successful in attracting many people. Or just giving some good feeling like this. Oh, so nice to see you all.
So we
can say that, but that's not our message. It's not that our whole message is nice to see you. Our message is, nice to see you, who are you? Who are you actually? Who are we? We identify ourselves as with the body, as enjoyers of this material world. But we have to understand, we are not the body, we are eternal servants of Krishna in a spiritual existence. So this has to be repeated again and again and again. Because we We're like the dog's tail. The dog's tail, you try and straighten it, it again it will go out.
We
hear the lecture and we think, oh, okay, now I understood. I am the eternal servant of Krishna. Then we walk out the door and we see idli, dosai, roti. We think, of course you won't go there because it's a Muslim food shop, whatever, biryani. So I won't go in a Muslim hotel. Oh, but there's a Hindu hotel, vegetarian. Ah, bliss. The best dosas in all of Singapore. Oh, then again we become, instead of becoming Krishna Das, we become the servant of this tongue. But it's vegetarian. It's vegetarian. Is it cooked by devotees of Krishna with love for Krishna? I don't think so. So devotees, they only take prasad cooked by devotees offered to Krishna. That is our vow. Otherwise, we cannot be Krishna Das if we are tongue Das. Tongue Das, belly Das, eye Das, skin Das. This is the illusion of material life. Yehi sangsparsha ja bhoga dukha yonaya evate adyantavanta kaunteya na teshu ramate buddhaha. Does anyone here know the translation of this verse? Are you familiar with this verse? You know? Can you say? You're reminding me that we have to go. If you learn this verse, you can save yourself from so much suffering. This whole world is full of suffering. Why do we suffer? How can we be free from suffering? This one verse of Bhagavad Gita gives us the solution. That's why we should teach Bhagavad Gita. We don't even know basic things. Okay, I'll give the translation of this verse. Or you want to give? It's a very interesting, if you analyze the Sanskrit, it's very interesting. Sang sparsha ja bhoga. Sparsha, you have that in Tamil, sparsha?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sparsha means touch. So, enjoyment comes from touch. Especially sexual enjoyment, which is supposed to be the highest enjoyment in this material world. So, touch, that means also our eyes, they see, that's also enjoyment, that's the interaction of the eye with the sense object by seeing. By hearing, by contact of sound with the ear, we feel some enjoyment. So, smelling. We walk past the hotel, the smell is coming out of Muslim hotel. Hare Krishna, you want to, but anyway, maybe the vegetarian hotel. Oh, very nice. It's nice dosa, idli. So, Roop, Sparsha, what is that? What is that? There's touching, tasting, smelling, feeling, and one more is there? What is that?
Seeing,
I said. Maybe I said them all. Gandha smelling. I think I said them all. I must have said them all. So, we think this is enjoyment. But Krishna says, yehi sangsparsha ja bhoga. Bhoga means there's some enjoyment, isn't it?
Yeah,
boha in Tamil. But Krishna says, dukkhayonaya evate. They are the causes of suffering. Immediately there is some pleasure, so-called. But it's the cause of our distress. Because we desire to enjoy this material world, we have to suffer birth, death, old age and disease. Therefore, Krishna says, an intelligent person, nateshu ramate buddhaha, an intelligent person does not take part in this. So this knowledge is important, isn't it? They won't teach you this in school. Your parents won't teach you this. You can join the genius club. There's, what is that called? There's some, in the Western countries, they have some. I'm not a genius, I can't remember the name. For intelligent people, they have some club. Mensa club. All fools. Professor Einstein, fool. Who else is considered very intelligent? All the big politicians, all fools. Muttal. Fool number one. Murha. All fools. Because they repeatedly do something which causes them distress, namely they get involved in sense gratification. So, bhakti is all about love. But we think that love means offering sense gratification to some beautiful woman. And woman's point of view means capture some man.
அழகான ஆளுக்கு மட்டும்தான் அவர்கள் காதல் செய்ய தயாராக இருக்கிறாங்க.
But love means loving Krishna on the spiritual platform. Therefore, we should take these teachings of Bhagavad Gita and understand them very clearly, very thoroughly. So, distribute this Bhagavad Gita. And not just to Hindus. It's not, Krishna doesn't says, idam vivasvate yogam, idam vivasvate yogam proktava anaham Hindu idea. He didn't say any such thing. You bring it to all the people. At least when I was in Malaysia, we used to distribute books to the Chinese people more than the Indian people. So we have to give this knowledge to everyone. Anyway, I have to go to another program, it seems. So, Hare Krishna. Please try to understand this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. Study this thoroughly. Otherwise, our Krishna consciousness, it may be on the sensual platform. We think that bhakti means how nicely you can sing. Hare Krishna! Oh, what great bhakti! So nice singing, but is there a real spirit of wanting to please Krishna? Oh, very nice lecture. This evening's lecture is not a very nice lecture. No jokes, only one story. Useless. But this is what we need to hear. There's what we like to hear and what we need to hear. If we speak what people like to hear, then we become a prostitute. If we speak what people need to hear, then we become a sadhu. So, if you want a prostitute, then you can get, there are many. Krishna did not indulge Arjuna in what he wanted, in what Arjuna wanted. Krishna told Arjuna what he needed to hear.